Are you ready for some awesome healthy recipe alternatives? I'm going to be sharing with you some of my top secrets in this upcoming podcast. And we're celebrating our fourth birthday. Stay tuned.
This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Welcome to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Your host, Felice Gerwitz, is an author, a publisher, and your radio show host. She will encourage, educate, and inspire you with answers to your most pressing questions, from homeschool, marriage, parenting, and much more. Felice loves to equip moms to live a Christian life because every moment counts. Be sure to visit her website at mediaangels.com. And here's your host, Felice Gerwitz.
Hey everyone, Felice Gerwitz here, and this is episode 226, Healthy Recipe Alternatives. You can check out the show notes at vintagehomeschoolmoms.com. So this was supposed to be part of another podcast that I did on cooking with kids, and there were just too many good ones that I wanted to list and not enough time in the podcast. I don't think any of you want to listen to a two-hour podcast, right? And sometimes I get a little bit wordy. So I decided to do a separate one, and these will be on the show notes. So if you're riding in the car and or somewhere that you can't take notes, don't worry. I've done that for you. And I'd like to thank our sponsor, Radish Kids. Radish is a cooking club and curriculum perfect for homeschool families. They are offering a special promotion just for you. And we have really enjoyed having them as a sponsor. They are awesome people. And I hope you check out that interview I did with Samantha Barnes, who came up with the idea. And she is an amazing person and even a homeschool mom. And as if that wasn't enough, we are celebrating our fourth birthday. That's right. The Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network is 4 years old. And if you are on our Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network mailing list, you will never miss another freebie or bonus offer. So make sure that you sign up. You can go to ultimatehomeschoolradionetwork.com on that front page. Look for the sign up and you will be involved in all of our upcoming promotions and freebies. And we're going to be giving away once again this year a big cash prize. So be sure to sign up. All right. Well, Radish Kids has a great promo coupon for you. We're going to be listening in just a few minutes and get that information. Okay. So today I'm going to share with you some amazing and healthy food conversions or alternatives, and they work wonders with your recipes. As I told you, these are tried and true. These are all things that I use personally, and I want to share with you a little story. You know, I always have a story, right? Eating healthy became a priority after my mother died in 1999, and I have to tell you, I had to take a hard look at my pantry, and I got rid of the things that I really thought were not good for my family. And yes, some of that stuff has creeped back in because I have older kids that will bring those things into the house. But for the most part, I've made some healthy substitutions that all of my family can agree on. And those are the ones I'm going to share with you. These are my top 15. And again, they're in the show notes on episode 226, Healthy Substitutions. All right. So the first is tried and true, and that is unflavored coconut oil. And I have substituted that in place of shortening. I never use shortening again. And the reason I use shortening especially in cookies, is because of the wonderful chewy texture it imparts in food. And one of the great food conversions that you can use is coconut oil. I found one that is flavor-free. No one in my family likes the flavor of coconut. So obviously when that jar came into my kitchen, they were not very happy. And I buy it from a specific place, and I will share that link with you in the show notes. You can get it anywhere you want, but I use this this version that works really, really well. And it pretty much works a one-to-one. So if you would use a cup of shortening, you would then use a cup of the coconut oil. Now, I live in Florida, so at certain times of the year, coconut oil gets very runny. So sometimes I have to add more flour. to my recipe. You can store the coconut oil in the fridge. You don't really need to. Even when it's opened, it lasts on your shelf. So that is really good. But you can, you know, make that judgment yourself. But it works great. It imparts no flavor, and it gives the cookies that chewy texture I love. The second is egg substitute. Now, there are several things that you can use. Many times I will just use organic eggs, but if I run out of eggs, which tends to happen because my family enjoys scrambled eggs for breakfast, I can use flaxseed that I have, and I grind them fresh and I add water. So 1 tablespoon of ground flaxseed is going to be an equivalent when you add 2 and just a little bit. So you can use like 2.5 tablespoons of water or 2 tablespoons and 1 teaspoon. And I use this for pancakes, muffins, or other baked goods. It doesn't work as well, I have found, in if you're making a cake, because that's a little bit more of a delicate batter. I don't make a lot of from scratch cakes. Yes, that's one place I kind of cheat, but you can use that in your recipes. A second is chia seeds. You can add 1 tablespoon of chia seed to 1 cup of water. If you have never tried chia seeds, I swear they're like the most incredible thing that you can do. You can add chia to, this is a whole nother thing. This is just a recipe I'm throwing out, but you can add 1 tablespoon of chia to yogurt. You can even add it to organic milk and let it sit in the fridge and use some kind of sweetener if you want. And it really changes the texture of liquid. So it's really cool. Let the seeds, if you're going to use it for an egg substitute, let it sit for about 15 minutes, and then you can add it to your, muffin mix or whatever it is you're making. Same thing with pancakes. You can do that. The third thing I'm going to share with you is flour. Okay. So, I've got half a family, not, my grandkids and my son-in-law who are, don't eat gluten. And, you know, even though their test results have said that they're not gluten intolerant, when they eat things with that are high in gluten, they don't feel good. So you may have to look at some alternatives there, and there are some, and I'm not going to share those with you this second, but I may have them in the show notes. I didn't grab that before I went to record, which I meant to do. So I'm going to write myself a note here for some gluten substitutes. And I know there's like gluten-free flours and things like that now, but I know that there are certain things that you can use instead. But for me, I use an organic flour that has flaxseed in it, and that works really well for us. It's very difficult, I know, because of the GMOs and genetically modified organisms. I believe that's what the GMO stands for. I've been saying GMO for so long that when I have to stop and think, it's kind of like a brain freeze here. But I have used the organic flours successfully for years, and make sure it's unbleached because it's the least amount of processing. And I know that there are people that say there are no good white flours out there, but if you have to use it sparingly, this is something that you can do. And again, that's a one for one. Let's go backwards now under the oil category. The second part, if you're going to substitute with oil, I forgot to mention this, and that was applesauce. I've done that for years. I've used 1 cup of organic unsweetened applesauce for oil, and that works super, super well. So if you're going to use 1/2 cup of oil, just put in 1/2 cup of unsweetened applesauce. And again, a much better substitute than oil. Oil, for the most part, is just not a healthy alternative to have in your diet, unless it is something that is an oil that is not going to go rancid when you cook it. Even olive oil, which I've used for years, and I get a really good quality olive oil, it's really difficult to find anymore. And there are places that say that they're selling a good quality olive oil, and I don't know how many really can be trusted, so you have to be careful. And if you're buying one, it's very, very expensive. So applesauce is a really good alternative. So number four is, so one was coconut oil and applesauce instead of oil. Number two were egg substitutes. Again, they'll be in the show notes on vintagehomeschoolmoms.com, episode 226. And the third was my flour substitute. The second part of the flour is whole wheat. I use a organic wheat that I grind. Yes, it's a pain, but I know I'm getting a fresh wheat. It's not something I've purchased in the store. It's a hard sell to my kids. They will not eat just a whole wheat roll. They want to have it broken up. And even when I've added some things to it to make it lighter, it just really hasn't tasted as well. So I do usually do a half whole wheat to half flour recipe, and that works really well. I've made my bread for years, and it's been a really good thing to have in the freezer. The fourth is dark leafy greens instead of lettuce. Now, again, your kids may not want to eat kale or they may not eat spinach, but it's amazing if you mix it with the lettuce they like. And I feel like iceberg lettuce, which a lot of people eat, has zero calories, zero nutrients. It's pretty much a zero. So if you can put some dark leafy greens in with the lettuce the kids like, you know, it looks pretty. Kids can help you do that. So that's awesome. And they'll tend to eat it. Number four, some different things you can use for pasta. Now, I'm Italian and there's nothing that beats a semolina pasta, okay? Something I grew up with and I love, and my parents used to make fresh pasta from ground semolina flour, something I can't, take the time to do. But some things that are alternatives, and the one I will tell you that I love is zucchini. You can use those really fancy, spirally things that make it all spirally for pasta. It's kind of a hard sell for your kids. If they grow up with this stuff, they'll love it. If you're trying to introduce it after you've given them real pasta, they may not love it as much. Some people use the spaghetti squash for pasta. I have tried that and it is not my favorite, but some people love it and swear by it. The zucchini I do love because zucchini in sauce is delicious anyway. So I use zucchini I make a zucchini parmesan, which is a recipe I got from my dad. You make it the same way you make eggplant parmesan. You just substitute zucchini for eggplant, and that is super yummy. I'm throwing out, as I'm doing this, all these recipes instead of just sticking to the script here with the alternative, so sorry about that. The sixth is the tortillas. Okay, so what do you do for people with gluten-free diets? You can use corn tortillas. Again, be careful that they're non-GMO. You can make tortillas yourself. Super easy recipe for making them. My daughter makes them, so something you can do. Again, you can look for organic alternatives, which is what we tend to do. And also start with the smaller shells because, you know, no one needs those big, huge shells, and it just cuts down on calories and everything else. We'll be right back. I'm going to take a really quick commercial break, and then I'm going to go through the rest of my list here, and let's see if I can stick to the script and quit throwing out recipes. We'll be right back. Hey everyone, Felice Gerwitz here, and I want to give a special shout out to the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network sponsor, and that is Radish. Radish is a cooking club and curriculum specially designed for kids by chefs and educators. Radish is perfect for homeschooling families. You can teach a thematic cooking lesson that incorporates math, science, nutrition, geography, and culture. With Radish, the kitchen is the tastiest place to learn. Use coupon code PODCAST at checkout for $15 off a 6 or 12-month membership. Visit radishkids.com/homeschool to learn more and to download a free lesson. That's Radish with two Ds, R-A-D-D-I-S-H, kids.com/homeschool to learn more and download a free lesson.
Yeah.
Hey everyone, and welcome back. This is Felice Gerwitz, episode 226, Healthy Recipe Alternatives. Again, I want to thank our sponsor, Radish, a cooking club and curriculum. That is awesome, and your kids can get recipes every month that they will be excited about making. Very kid-friendly. All right, let me see. Where were we? Number seven, quinoa instead of couscous. Well, I love couscous and I love quinoa, but couscous is a grain. So if you're trying to avoid that, you can use quinoa instead of oatmeal. Again, if your kids grew up with some of these things, you know, it is a lot easier. If you can get them involved in cooking, that also makes them want to try things. So that's another great way to do it. Number eight, my personal favorite, and that's lettuce wraps. I love to buy the romaine lettuce. I like the mini lettuce. And then when my daughter was home from college this summer, she went back to buying the big lettuce leaves. And I remembered why they're so awesome, because you can use them for lettuce wraps. We make, you know, I'll do a chicken in my Instapot. Here I am throwing out recipes again. Sorry, guys. And I can actually fit two whole chickens. I cut them up and I squish them in there. And in about an hour, I have, you know, pull apart chicken that I can use for all kinds of recipes. I'll make soup. I'll take the bones and make some bone broth. And then I can make some chicken soup with that. And then I'll make, you know, some chicken parmesan, or I'll make barbecue chicken for the kids, like pulled barbecue chicken. And then my kids will take some of the chicken, chill it, and then add some Caesar dressing to it, and they'll make Caesar chicken wraps. They like it either on the romaine leaves or the tortilla shells, and I love the lettuce wraps. They're really good. So that can be substituted for bread. Number nine is using vegetables for dip. So a good one, you know, you can use veggies to dip instead of chips. And I love hummus. And it was so funny because I never knew, you know, as I was eating this growing up as a kid, that it was actually ground chickpeas. So you can add some crushed garlic, some extra virgin olive oil, salt and pepper to taste, and even your pickiest eaters will love it. It's a fun thing you can make in a mini food processor with your kids. My daughter makes the best hummus ever, and anytime we buy it now, it never lives up to as good as hers. So again, you can use veggies such as zucchini, obviously celery, carrots, things like that to dip into it. Number 10 is sugar substitutes. Sugar is such a culprit. I know that there's all kinds of books out there about, you know, sugar overload. And when you hear how much sugar people eat, even not even necessarily in sweetened drinks, which is a huge culprit of sugar, but in all of the packaged foods, there's sugar just about in everything. You know, there's sugar in fruit, fresh fruit. So it's obviously processed differently by our bodies, but even eating a lot of fruit can elevate sugar levels if you have difficulty with that. So the first substitute that I like is stevia. Now, I don't really like sweetened drinks, so I'm really blessed that way. But if you do, you can substitute stevia for sugar. It's not cheap. There's a little bit of an aftertaste, so use it sparingly. And you can use the liquid stevia instead of sugar in recipes, and it really works. And I did that with my dad, who was diabetic. And so I would make him like homemade pudding that he liked. And so I would use an organic milk, some stevia, and some vanilla extract, and he loved it. And sometimes I even baked him rice pudding using the stevia if we had leftover rice from dinner. That was something that he was able to tolerate really well. The second one is vanilla extract. Did you know you can cut your sugar in half and add a teaspoon of pure vanilla extract? You can do this in pancakes, which I don't even put sugar in my pancakes. You can use it in muffins and cookies. Again, you may need to play with the exact ratio. It may not be an exact one-to-one. So if you put half a cup, half of the Sugar you're going to put in the recipe and a teaspoon of vanilla extract. You may look at the batter to see if that messed up the consistency or not. I would not use all of the substitutions at once. So you could actually use the coconut oil and this ratio of sugar and vanilla extract, but I wouldn't substitute real eggs as well. You know, so you can substitute one or two or three things even, but just be careful and not use all of the substitutions. I mean, you can try it, have it be an experiment, and see how it works out and let me know. But I've only used these things sparingly. Like I said, I've used the coconut oil because that is a one-to-one with any kind of shortening or oil substitute. And applesauce, that's worked well. So you may want to look at that. And then the last one here for sugar is applesauce. And I have done that. And that is a one-to-one. So if you're using a fourth of a cup of sugar, you can actually substitute a fourth of a cup of applesauce. But I would not use that as well. And don't use the applesauce for the oil substitute. I would use something like coconut oil. So hopefully that's clear. Number 11, I have used this super successfully, and that is plain Greek yogurt instead of sour cream. It works great in all recipes, in dips, on baked potatoes, and my kids never noticed it. All right, what about potato substitutes? Well, there's sweet potatoes instead of baked potatoes and sweet potato fries. That has even become popular on menus in restaurants. And if you're going to fry them, you can use that unflavored coconut oil. That works well. Another potato chippy type of substitute is kale chips. You wash the kale, lightly toss with olive oil, salt, and pepper, paprika. You can use chili powder if you want a little kick, and bake them in the oven. Watch this because it burns easily. So you can bake it at about 400 degrees. And again, depending on your oven, you may want to lower that. And they are delicious. My family loves those. Number 13, sliced tomatoes instead of tomato sauce on pizza. That is delicious. My kids used to love the focaccia bread, which my dad used to buy at the Italian deli here in town. I don't go to that deli very much, mainly because I don't want to weigh 200 pounds because I love everything in there. It really brings back a lot of childhood memories. But it is something that they love. And, you know, it's so much easier to make with just sliced those big beefsteak tomatoes that you can slice, some garlic powder, or even crushed garlic, and a light spread of olive oil on your bread. And, you know, you can bake that, and it's super delicious with Parmesan cheese. Number 14, you know that you can grate cauliflower instead of rice. Again, be careful, because anytime I grate anything, I have to be super careful. I even have one of those little Dilema bobbies to keep me, you know, from getting my knuckles grated as well. But that can be used instead of rice. And if you like black beans and rice, that can be a great substitute. You can try that. Again, you're not going to cook it very long because cauliflower does cook very quickly. So you may actually want to steam the cauliflower and just check it. It cooks very quickly. And then the last, you can use Greek yogurt instead of mayonnaise. You can add a splash of lemon juice for that. And also, I don't know if you've tried it, but there's an avocado mayo that is organic and it is very yummy. You know, again, you can use that as a substitute. Well, guys, I hope this has helped you with some healthy alternative substitutes. You know, my favorites really are the coconut oil. When I discovered that, and it kept my cookies the same texture, and as you can hear, and I'm using the word cookies in the same breath as healthy, you know, we do have our, you know, time to time treats. And I think that, you know, it's okay, you know, depending on your family and your dietary restrictions. And, you know, I look at these things and I say, how can I make them healthier? And I hope that our substitutions will work for you and your family as well. Take care. God bless. Again, show notes are on vintagehomeschoolmoms.com, episode 226, Healthy Recipe Alternatives. And I hope you're going to join us in our fourth birthday celebration. Make sure that you are subscribed to our e-zine at ultimatehomeschoolradionetwork.com. And if you would, give me a star rating on iTunes. I never remember to ask. And I always tell my podcasters to make sure that they ask. So I'm going to put an ask out there. And once again, thanks so much to Radish Kids. They have put up a special page for us at radishkids.com, radish with two D's, radishkids.com/homeschool. Be sure to use that coupon code podcast and get a special coupon discount on 6 or 12 months off of their awesome kits for kids. Take care, everyone. God bless, and talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Visit Felice at MediaAngels.com and TheVintageHomeschoolMoms.com. Vintage Homeschool Moms is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.